One of my most popular storytelling programs in recent years has been stories about the Great California Gold Rush. Oh, what an exciting era that was. The Gold Rush up at Sutter's Fort in the foothills of the Sierra Mountains, just northeast of Sacramento a little ways. I'd like to focus in on a few individuals that were involved in that gold rush who just could not find any gold at all. Oh, they prospected all right. They were out there every day from morning till night trying their very best to find some of that gold. Couldn't find any at all. But they benefited greatly from the gold rush. Let me tell you about a few of those individuals. Jim Marshall is one. Oh, that's a name that you'll probably recognize. Jim Marshall was the man who found that very first gold nugget that started the Great California Gold Rush. Marshall was hired by John Sutter. John Sutter, the owner of Sutter's Fort, up there in the foothills of the Sierras. John hired Marshall to be the foreman of a construction crew to build a sawmill at his site up there in the foothills. Well, one day, Marshall was out there inspecting the work of his workers, building that sawmill, and he ran across this little gold nugget in the waters of a stream that flowed right into the American River. And he thought, maybe that's a gold nugget. And he called some of his workers over and said, "Hey, guys, come on over here and look at this. I think maybe I've found a gold nugget." And one of those workers took it in his hand and examined it. And he said, "Hey, Jim, that ain't no gold, man. That's nothing but fool's gold. Iron pyrite, that's all that is. Remember, Jim, all that glitters is not gold. Ha, ha, ha." Well, Jim Marshall was not so sure about that, so he took it to his boss, John Sutter, and John agreed that it sure looked like gold to him. But he said, "Now, Jim, just kind of keep it quiet about this finding of this gold nugget. You know, if people start hearing that there might be gold up here, well, we're going to have a lot of people coming up here and prospecting for gold, and it's going to interfere with our efforts to build this sawmill. So let's just keep it quiet." And Jim agreed, "Yeah, well, John, let's definitely keep it quiet." Well, it wasn't long that the news seeped out. You just can't keep something like that quiet. As much as they may have intended to or tried to, word got out, and pretty soon floods of people were coming into the area prospecting for gold. And, of course, that immediately stopped the construction of the sawmill. There's too much confusion, too many people around. And besides, there wasn't any more workers anymore because all the workers left their jobs to go out into the gold fields and prospect for gold. Well, Jim Marshall got so frustrated that he just finally dropped his tools and went out and prospected for gold himself. Couldn't find a bit of gold. Not one single little nugget. Well, after the gold rush was over, Jim Marshall got a job as a gardener in that same area that was Sutter's Fort. And by this time, there were a lot of tourists coming up into that area. They wanted to see firsthand the site of the Great California Gold Rush. And Marshall would go up to these people and offer to sell them a picture of himself. Yeah, he would sign the picture, he would autograph it, saying, "Jim Marshall, the man who found the first gold nugget in the Great California Gold Rush." He sold a lot of those pictures, made quite a bit of money. Then there is another man, you'll probably recognize his name too, Levi Strauss. Levi Strauss. He came up to the gold fields looking for gold, and he tried so hard. And he brought with him a great big bag of real tough denim cloth. Now, the reason he took that bag of cloth up there was primarily to build tents out of the cloth, but later he found that it wasn't the right kind of cloth to build tents with. So he had this big bag of cloth with him. And after a while, after all the prospecting with no success, he was almost broke. I mean, he took a certain amount of money just to live. and he was almost out of money completely, he decided to sell some of his cloth to fellow prospectors in the area. And he noticed that most of those prospectors used the cloth to make pants for themselves. And occasionally the prospectors hired Levi Strauss to make the pants for him. Well, that made enough money for him to continue on there gold fields for quite a while. But then after the gold rush was over, he got to thinking about that experience, and he decided to start a business of making men's pants. And the business was very successful. It flourished and still is flourishing today. And the name of those pants were called Levi's. Levi's for gold prospector Levi Strauss. Oh, and then there's another fellow I've just got to share with you. This is one of my favorite characters of the gold rush days. His name was Johnny. He's just a young guy, 19 years old, Johnny. And he was so busy, so determined to find gold in the gold rush days. He was out there like his fellow prospectors from morning till night seeking gold. Couldn't find a thing. Finally, he too was almost broke. He had to do something. Johnny was a very enterprising, creative young guy. And he looked around and saw all these people, all these prospectors, and all this activity taking place. And he thought to himself, you know, there must be some way I can make a few dollars even though I can't find any gold. And then he had an idea. Yeah, that's what these prospectors need. They need wheelbarrows. Wheelbarrows, something to carry their lunches and tools out into the gold fields while they're prospecting. They need wheelbarrows. Well, he made a deal with a blacksmith in the area to use his tools, and he started making wheelbarrows for the prospectors. Well, the prospectors loved it. I mean, that's exactly what they needed. And in most cases, the wheelbarrows were sold even before they were completed. Well, he just kept making more and more of these wheelbarrows and selling them to the prospectors, and he did very well at it. He made about $8,000 just on making and selling wheelbarrows. $8,000, that's a lot of money for back in those days. Well, after the gold rush was over, he went back to his home state of Indiana, teamed up with his brothers, and used that $8,000 as seed money to start a new business. The business was making horse-drawn wagons. And that business also flourished. It got bigger and bigger, and by the end of the 1800s, why, it was the largest manufacturer of horse-drawn wagons in the entire world. And then soon after the turn of the century, soon after the 1900s started, his business decided to change course. Instead of making horse-drawn wagons, they started making automobiles. Automobiles. And they called those automobiles after the last name of Johnny. Johnny, who was called Wheelbarrow Johnny back in the Gold Rush days. His full name was John Studebaker. And those new cars that were being produced by the company were called Studebakers. Oh, I have such fond memories of those Studebakers. It has an unusual design. The back part of the car was almost like the front part of the car. You couldn't really tell whether the car was coming or going. Really a neat little car. And it was all started because John Studebaker, Wheelbarrow Johnny, came up with a bright idea of making wheelbarrows for prospectors.